Well, this morning, you can turn in Exodus. We're going to get to Exodus 20 here in just a minute. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. So if you're following along on your phone, you can click to that. Or if you have a paper version, we'll get there in just a minute. But we're in this series called Guardrails. This is the fourth week, the final week. But I want to speak this week about the guardrail of Sabbath rest. And I think this is one of those guardrails like that we kind of just sneak on by and don't even realize is there sometimes until we've done snuck up on it and blown past it. And Pastor Randy has preached some awesome messages on some great guardrails that we need to guard against in our life. But this is one of those to me that is equally as important, but not very often talked about. And it's the guardrail of getting a Sabbath rest in your life. And for me, this is one of those things, if I can just be honest with you now, I'm hard-headed, and I've learned the hard way, okay? I will get that confession out right now. I don't know that I've ever shared this story publicly, but early on in our marriage, I know we had our son, and I believe my wife was either pregnant or had just had our second child, and she had gotten laid off from her job, and we lived in a small town, and so there was no way she was going to get a job that was going to justify childcare for two little kids and still come out ahead when it was all said and done. And so I did what anybody does in that moment. Baby, you stay home and take care of the kids, and I'm going to figure out what to do to make ends meet and take care of the bills. And so I worked for a concrete company Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, but in busy seasons, we made concrete septic tanks, we made feeders for cattle and waters and all kinds of stuff. And so in busy seasons, we would have to pour on Saturdays and Sundays to keep up with the demand. And so I would work Monday through Friday there, and then I would go in Saturday morning, but I'd get up at 4 something, be there at 5, and we would pour. Sunday morning, same thing, get up at 4 something, be there at 5, pour. Go home, take a shower, show up to church on Sunday. And man, I just ran life at that pace. I umpired baseball on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Let me just tell you this now. I loved umpiring Little League Baseball, but parents, y'all ruined it for me, okay? I'm just saying. Like, I'm telling y'all killed it for me, man. I mean, you're like, why? That wasn't a strike. I'm like, if your kid would have swung the bat instead of left it on his shoulder, it would have took care of the problem. But I didn't have the right temperament to take that very often from mom and dad. So, but I did that for 2 nights a week. And then when I wasn't pouring concrete or doing that, we had a guy that I would go and build fence for. Listen, driving T-posts in the sand hills of southern Missouri, I mean, you learn real quick what it's like to build some fence there. And I worked for a guy, somebody else on the farm, and I would brush hog and cut hay. Whatever I could do to fill in those windows to make money, that's what I did. Until one of those nights at one of those baseball games, I was behind home plate. I was calling balls and strikes. And the next thing I know, I was laying on the ground. I was looking up, and there was people standing over me. And apparently, it had been really hot that day, and I didn't drink enough water. And so I passed out, went home. Somebody drove me home. And my wife and family said, you just need to take a day off and rest. And I didn't know how to do that. And so I tried to take a day off and rest. And I'm sitting at home, and all I can think about is I need to be working. Like, I got money that I need to make. I got 3 mouths here that need to be fed. I've got bills to be paid. I can't afford to sit here and rest. And so pretty soon I'm thinking about all that stuff, and my heart starts racing, and suddenly I can't catch my breath, and my chest starts hurting, and my arm starts going numb, and my face starts going numb, and I call my father-in-law, go to the ER. I think I'm having a heart attack or a stroke or something is not right. They hook me up all kinds of machines. I spend a couple hours there. Everything checks out okay, and they come back and said, we think that you had a panic attack. And they were right, because it happened once or twice more. And somewhere along the way, I had ran and I had ran and I had ran so hard to the point that I didn't stop to take a break, and it caught up with me physically. And man, that's something that is just ingrained in me that I don't know how to not do. Like, I love to work hard. I'm an achiever. Like, I want to get things done. And if I can't get something done, I got to keep working until I get something done. And maybe some of you are just like that. Maybe your life feels the same way. Maybe there are mouths to feed and bills to pay and not enough money to go around by the end of the month. And so you're just scrambling to make ends meet and you feel stressed and you feel anxious and you kind of know what that feeling was like that I had back then. Maybe some of you, it's just the season of life you're in. I got two teenage kids. I get it, man. It doesn't take very long for the schedule to fill up with things that kids want to do. You're running around to basketball games, softball games, baseball. You got rodeos on the weekend. You got everything and anything to the point where mom and dad pass each other because mom's taking one here and dad's taking the other there. And you know what it's like just to go, 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 go. Some of it is maybe you've got a sick loved one or somebody that's aging that requires a lot more care. And man, it's really demanding in your life right now to be able to do that and find the time for all the other things you have. Some of you, I mean, you just don't know how to stop. Like if you just get 5 minutes in your schedule and you got to fill it up with something. But somewhere in there, we all face this pressure to blow past that guardrail of rest. But one thing we need to understand is this, that Sabbath rest is God's gift of a guardrail to you. I think one of the things we have to get in our mind, this picture that we have to understand, is that Sabbath rest is a gift. It is not a rule to be followed. It is a gift from a God who loves you. And we get this piece so jacked up in our minds sometimes, especially somebody like me that's an achiever, man. I just want something I can check off that box and get going, man. I want to keep moving and keep going forward. But I want to take a look today and see what Scripture has to say about that Sabbath rest. Because here's why I believe it's so important. Because when we get tired, when we get worn down, the door to temptation and sin gets open wide in our life. You guys know what I'm talking about. How many times have you done something when you were tired that you would have never done if you'd had a little bit of sleep and a little bit of rest? Okay, all right. Phew, I was starting to feel like maybe I was the only one here for a minute, right? Weariness is one of the greatest and most subtle open doors to sin that the enemy uses to take us out of the game. Because he knows when you're tired, you don't think clearly, you don't act clearly, you don't respond clearly. You're tired, you're emotional, and you don't make good decisions. And when the enemy attacks in my life, I can say he attacks more often when I am tired than any other time. And so there is a piece of this here where we have to see it as God's gift to protect us. God's gift because he loves us and wants to move in our life. And we need to wrestle with this. Like if you're sitting there now ready to check out saying, that's not me, I'm still good, I can keep going, then you're rubbing a guardrail right now if that's you and you feel like this doesn't apply to me, it does. And you need to wrestle with this a little bit today. So I want to look in Exodus chapter 20. This is the Ten Commandments. Any of you guys watched David Letterman when you were growing up? David Letterman, top 10, right? He always had that list every night. David Letterman's top 10, all right? This is God's top 10. His Ten Commandments that he gave us, the 10 most important things that he wrote out for us to live by, to guard and guide the way that we live our life. And right smack dab in the middle of them, number 4 is this commandment to observe a Sabbath day. Verse 8 in Exodus 20 says this, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested." That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. See, in this number 4 of his top 10 commandments, he talks about this word holy a couple of times, this idea of being set apart, of being dedicated, of something different than any other. Is there a day in your life, a window of time that is set apart and different than all of the others? Or does every day just kind of run together like the one before it and the one coming after it? Because God has called us to take one day, one window of time in our life, and to set it apart and dedicate it for something different, dedicated to the Lord. This moment where we can stop the madness of life, stop the crazy circle that's going on, and pause. And instead of our attention being on everything else that's happening around us, instead of our attention being on ordinary work, we stop and we think about the Lord and how good He is and how much He loves us and how much He wants to provide for us. See, to me, church each week is a way that God can break us from the pattern of this world and reset our focus on Him. That's why we do what we do every week. I need Sundays. I need Monday nights. I need these breaks in my week where I get out of that hamster wheel of feeling like I'm running, running, and running to stop and to think about God and to think about how good He is and how much He loves me and how no matter what I face this week, God can help me overcome it. And those of you guys know what I'm talking about because there are Sundays or Mondays where you come in here and you're like, I don't know how I can do this anymore. And by the time you walk out of service, you say, man, that spoke to me, that encouraged me, that lifted me up, that changed me. Why? Because you stopped and you took a moment to set it aside for something different than what you normally would and to spend it with the Lord. That's why to me, church every week is so important. To get this moment in this window of time where I break out of the pattern that the world tries to set for me and I step into a pattern that God has created me for, and that's why it's His gift to me. Church is a gift. It's not a thing to do. It's not a box to be checked. It is God's gift to you because He is trying to help reset your mind, fill you up with His strength so that you can go out and do what He called you to do. Amen. And when you skip that, it's like you're throwing that gift back at God and saying, I don't need it this week. But it's His gift to you because He loves you. It's why we do life groups. Listen, most of the time, to be super honest with you, by the middle of the week, like I need like another shot of something. I mean, maybe the rest of y'all have your weeks mastered. I don't. By like Wednesday or Thursday, like it's time for something else. I need to get in a Bible study, a life group, some kind of opportunity where somebody else around me that's living in this crazy grind called life is working their way through it too. And we can figure out how to do it together with Jesus, which is why we do life groups and why we do Bible studies and why we have all of those things that happen because we need a break from the pattern of this world to focus on Jesus. He goes on to talk about 6 days for ordinary work, one day for rest. That there is this pattern that God has created for us to understand, not as a rule to be followed, again, as a gift to us. If you look in Isaiah 58:13, there's this scripture that is given to help us better understand the idea of what Sabbath is and isn't. Isaiah 58:13 says this. It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. God is saying, I've given you 6 days to pursue those things that you want to pursue. I'm telling you, set aside one day to pursue me and the things that I desire. And if we would give Him that one day, He would give us the gift of 6 days to accomplish His desires for us. 6 days. Listen, if God wanted you to work every day of the week, why did He make the Sabbath? He could have just hit six, forget number seven, and start all over again, and let's just go back to work. He went six and gave you the gift of a day off. And the amazing thing to me is if you study out creation as well, is He created us on what day? The sixth day. What day is the Sabbath day? Seventh. Very first day we're on earth, God said, I tell you what, before you ever do anything else here, take a day off and just enjoy some time with me. We can work later. And could it be when we don't take God's gift of the Sabbath, we're missing out on the very thing that we're created for, and that's to spend time with God. And listen, I this is me. Like I feel guilty when I don't work enough. Like when I sit around too much, I start to get anxious and feel bad. Like I should be doing something here. but it's because I've been created to rest and spend time with God. 6 days for him, one, or 6 days for me, one for him. And when I do, I keep my life positioned in a way that I need, in a way that keeps us holy. And the amazing thing to me about this too is, to me, here's why I believe the Sabbath is still important as well. Because the Sabbath is existed. It predates the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was around all the way from the very beginning. In Genesis, long before God gave us his top 10, he created this rhythm of 6 days in one, because that's what we're created for. That's the way he designed us. It's not a law. It is a pattern established by a loving God who gave you the gift of getting to enjoy one day with him and taking a break. And then the amazing part in this scripture in Exodus is that it says that God rested. Like, I hope you realize, like, God didn't need a break. Like, God wasn't thinking, woo, 6 days, that was really hard. I need one. He wasn't. God was perfectly fine after 6 days. If you study that word rested, it does mean to sit down or to lie down. But if you dive into the Hebrew, the original language, it really means to breathe in, to take in. Because what had God been doing for 6 days? Breathing out. Let there be light. Let there be land. Let there be. Everything was created by his word. Everything was created by breathing out. And then God stops after 6 days and says, I tell you what, you need to breathe in before you breathe out. Before you go to work, before you start your week all over, before you get into those things, you need to stop and take me in before you go and give out. Listen, your ability to give out is going to be limited by your ability to take in. You will never give out more than you take in. I had this conversation with staff here just a few weeks ago. The funny thing is, listen, you can't lead anybody closer to Jesus than you are. I can stand up here all I want to and point, but the reality is, I will never lead anybody closer to Jesus than I am. You will never lead anybody closer to Jesus than you are. And so if you don't pause and take Jesus in so you can scoot a little closer to him and lead more people closer to him, you're robbing yourself of the gift of being close to Jesus, and you're robbing other people of that same gift that want to follow your example of what it looks like to get closer to Jesus. And they need that gift as much as you need that gift. They need that opportunity. Man, this is, I know it's kind of weighty. I know it kind of feels like, ooh, I don't know about this. Like, it starts to feel kind of heavy. But I can tell you, for me, this is how this one impacts me. And don't worry, my family will be in the third service, and I promise you, they're going to be the loudest amens on this one, all right? Listen, when I do not stop and take a break, I am not fun to be around. I'm just telling you, like, I can come into the office and I can do my best to put on my best face because everybody's like, oh, I don't know if I want to go see Pastor Jason today. But then, man, by the time I get home, like, I got nothing left to give. My family gets the frustrated, irritable version of me that says things that I wished I hadn't said and that I wished I could take back, that just tries to push away rather than draw them closer to me because I'm exhausted. And I don't like that version of me. I don't want to be that version of me, but when I don't stop and give him the opportunity to move in me, I got nothing to give out to others. I've ran out. This commandment to me is one of those that I think it's funny when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we feel like this one is optional. The other nine are set in stone, but for some reason we talk about a Sabbath rest, we think it's optional. Listen, if I committed an adultery and had an affair with another woman, if I lied or if I stole something from this church, I would get fired. But if I worked 7 days a week and killed myself, I would get promoted for it. Like, we laugh, But is it not the truth of the world that we live in? Don't you dare commit adultery. Don't you dare lie. Don't you dare steal. But you can work 7 days a week if you want to. And no, Pastor Randy and Darla, do not let us do that, by the way. I'm just saying. And I fight really hard to guard that for our staff as well. But if you would not ask me to commit adultery, don't you dare ask me to work 7 days a week. Because it was that important to God that it made the top 10. If it was that important to God that it made it in from the very beginning of creation, then we need to value the importance of that gift that God has given to us in a Sabbath rest and honor that. And the funny thing is, Jesus, he begins to flip this table a little bit here. In Mark chapter 2, I love this story. Verse 23 says, one Sabbath day as Jesus was walking through some of the grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat it. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Like, I'm just like, I don't know how Jesus does it sometimes. The sarcasm with me would come out like, oh, they did what? I mean, it's like, it's food. They're hungry. Jesus said to them, haven't you read in scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days of Abiathar the high priest and broke the law by eating sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said, the Sabbath was made. I'm going to stop right there. Who do you think would know the purpose of the Sabbath? The one who made the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Did you catch what Jesus said there? The Sabbath was created not as a rule for people to follow. It was created to meet the needs of people. Who understands what we need? The one who created us, who breathed life into us, who took this thing called dust and found a way to turn it into a living, breathing being. And he said, you need this. Like in life, I know there are some things that I need. Air is one of those needs. Like you're not going to last very long without air, right? Food and water, that's a need. That's pretty important that we won't be able to do forever without. Shelter and safety is one of those things that we need. Those seat warmers that I have in my vehicle on a cold day are something I want, not something I need. What I really want is one of those that has seat coolers in the summertime for when that leather gets so hot that I can just slide into a cool seat instead of a hot one, but that is what I want. But Jesus did not say the Sabbath is for something for people that want it. He said it is needed. That he understands that there is this need, as much as we have for air, for food, for water, we have a need to hit the pause button in our life one out of every 7 days and take a break from the craziness of this world to spend some time with him and to spend some time in rest. And when you blow through that guardrail, you hurt yourself. When you do not set that guardrail and protect one of your most basic needs, and that is to spend time with the Lord and rest, you hurt yourself because it is a need that you have. And then when you hurt yourself and reject that gift from God, you end up hurting others around you at the same time. I know the Jason that does not rest. He is not fun to be around. And I do more damage for the kingdom of God than good when I don't get rest. And we have to find that moment, hit that button, and recognize our need for Jesus in that moment. But the other part of this that's amazing to me is he says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord even over the Sabbath, is what the New Living Translation says. To me, it's this idea that yes, the Sabbath is one day, but we have now entered into a perpetual Sabbath because the Sabbath is not just a rule to be followed or a commandment that he's given, but Jesus is essentially saying, I am the Sabbath. What does he tell us in Scripture? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because he is our rest. In the middle of this crazy world, when things feel like they're spinning out of control, when you feel like you're standing on the hamster wheel and you can't get any traction, when you're a mom hiding in the bathroom trying to get away from three kids banging on the door, mom, 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 mom. He is your rest in that moment. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. I am your Sabbath rest that you're looking for. He made it so much bigger than just a rule to be followed. He's saying, bring me into your life. Bring me into your situation. Bring me into your moment. And it doesn't matter what's happening in that moment, because everything may be on fire around you, but he can still give you peace because he is your rest. See, here's one thing that I know in this pursuit of Jesus is, if you want to hear some more teaching on this, by the way, if you have Right Now Media, we have an awesome channel on there from Digging Deep. And Pastor Rob last fall went through all of the Ten Commandments, and Pastor Darla taught one. It's on there. It's great. Even more than I can fit into this sermon. But there's a piece in here that we have to catch, and it's this. The soul follows what you prioritize. Your soul, your emotions, your desires, your thoughts, the things that you want to go after, follow what you prioritize. If you prioritize work and the craziness of that schedule and to keep pursuing those things, then your heart, your desires, your emotions, your thoughts are going to follow what you prioritize. But I have learned in my life that when I would pause and find the rhythm and embrace the gift of rest that God has given to me and spend some time focusing on him instead of everything around me, my heart begins to desire Jesus more. And my thoughts begin to think on him more. And I want those other things less than I want him more, because your soul will follow what you make a priority. Your desires, your thoughts, and emotions will follow what you make a priority. And when we pause in a Sabbath rest, we step into the priority of saying, God, I'm just trusting that you can do more in 6 days than I can do in 7 days. That you can do more with six than I can with seven. See, I think there are four things real quick that I'm going to have to go through. Man, time just gets away when you're having fun. Here's, I think, four struggles of why we wrestle to enjoy a Sabbath rest from God. I think one is you don't trust God. Like, you say with your words, but by your actions, you don't really trust that God can do more with 6 days than you can with 7 days. So I know it's a good thing. I know it may be good for me, but I don't know if I fully trust that God can really do that. So I'm going to just keep running with seven, because we wouldn't say that. But then when you don't trust somebody, you're not always willing to take the gift from somebody that you don't trust, right? I take gifts from people that I trust. People that I don't trust, I'm like, maybe you can open that up for me and tell me what's inside, and then we'll see what happens. I think one of the other things is because you don't love God enough. And this one starts to get really weighty, but Jesus kind of dropped this truth bomb and let it lay there a little bit in John 14, because he said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And I'll take gifts from people that I love because I know that they love me. And so somewhere in here, you got to kind of weigh and wrestle is do I really love him enough? Do I really trust him enough to be everything that he said he is and everything that he said he could be? And if he does, and if I do, then I should be able to stop and enter in to this rest, because I know he loves me and he wants what's best for me. And he's going to take care of me and provide for me. He's not going to let me starve. He's not going to let my kids starve. He's not going to let my family be hurt or broken, because he loves me. I think the other side of this too, maybe number three, is that you don't love yourself enough. Somewhere in there, we have this mindset that self-care is being selfish. But I would say to you that sometimes taking care of yourself is the best thing that you can do so that you can take care of somebody else. And you need to see the gift of Jesus and the gift of his rest and understand it's because he loves you. And you need to receive that gift and receive that love and learn to love yourself the way Jesus has loved you. And the last one, this one, man, please hear my heart on this one. But some of you think you're God. You wouldn't say that with your words, but again, you say it with your actions. Because you wouldn't say I'm God, but you would say things like this. Listen, if I don't go meet with that person, if I don't take this phone call, if I don't go to lunch with them, if I don't show up for that, their marriage is going to fall apart. Their world is going to fall apart. If I don't do this for my kids, they're not going to know what to do. And so I have to do this because without me, their world is going to come to an end. Do you see what you're doing there? I kind of thought that was God's job, not yours. And somewhere along the way, if I trust God enough and I trust that he loves me and I love myself enough, then I've got to have some faith to understand that God's gift is not just good enough for me, but it's good enough for them too. And in this moment, I'm going to trust that if I honor God in this moment and I honor his word and I receive his gift, then one day I can give that same gift to that person that needs it. Because so many times people call and say, man, Pastor, my marriage is falling apart. I need to meet with you now. Like your marriage didn't start falling apart the last 5 minutes. It's been falling apart the last 5 years. I'll meet with you tomorrow morning. Let's make an appointment. Somewhere along the way, we have to wrestle through some of these things. Somewhere along the way, we have to understand what it's like to receive the gift of his rest that he gives to us. Because if we don't, we impair our ability to reflect Jesus to a world that desperately needs to receive that gift. See, we talk about things like Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, self-control. Except the problem is when I don't rest, I don't exude any of those things. I sure don't exude self-control because my mouth gets the best of me and things come out that I don't like. And I'm not very joyful to be around. In fact, I'm usually pretty sour, angry, and irritable to be around. I'm not very kind, and I certainly don't handle things very gently when I don't sleep. And yet somehow in the middle of that, when I don't stop and rest, I somehow think if I just throw this arrow prayer up to God, God, fill me with the power of your spirit to reflect your fruit to a world that needs it. I wonder if God is sitting there saying, I'm waiting for you to open up the gift of a Sabbath rest that I've already given you. And if you would just take that gift, you would find the power of my spirit to be everything that that world needs you to be. We're waiting for God, and I kind of feel like sometimes God is just waiting there for you. Like that gift is sitting right here. Take a day off and spend some time with me. Take a day off and rest. And you might actually find the strength in me and through me and with me to do the very thing that you're asking me to do for you now. Like, we just want God to fix things, but we don't want any skin in the game. But sometimes God is waiting for us to put a little skin in the game and open that thing up and do what he says, and then he moves. Told Noah to build an ark years before it ever even rained. See, for me, I gotta get ready to wrap up. I wish I could like tell you guys that I have conquered all of my stress and anxiety issues. I wish I could stand here and be that strong person that has figured it all out and have all the answers, right? That I've learned to take a Sabbath rest on a weekly basis, and I've learned in the stressful moments to breathe in and just wait for God to move. But I'm not there yet. If I can be honest with you and just really transparent, I woke up at 3:00 this morning and I've been going ever since. Because I woke up and my mind was just running. I'm thinking about this sermon. I'm thinking about what I've got written down, and man, I don't know, God, is that you or is that me or is this the right thing to say or is this going to come out the right way? And I'm laying there in bed and pretty soon I can feel heavy on my chest, and I'm sitting there, and it's just all these thoughts start running through my mind, and then I can't shut it off, and I'm thinking about this week already, and I know the things that I have to get done and that need to be addressed, and then I roped last night, and I didn't do nearly as good as I wanted to, so in my mind, I start thinking about what I should have done or what I could have done better, and it didn't get any better, and I wish I wasn't that way. Like, I wish I could just learn to trust God in that moment and just be like, it's going to be okay, and roll over and go back to sleep. I'm not there yet. So I had to get up after laying there for a little bit. And I have this thing I do, and I wish I could say it just fixes it instantly, but it doesn't. I've been awake ever since 3, but I get my Bible out. And I sit down and I find that I have to start reading the scripture in those moments, because I can't figure out how to captivate all of my thoughts yet in that moment. And I just start praying in those moments because I don't know what else to do. I can't fix all of these things that are racing through my heart and mind. And so I just begin to pray. And sometimes I'll get some worship music out and I'll turn that on too while I'm sitting there. And it took me about 2 hours this morning. It's about 5 o'clock before I could finally feel like I could relax and embrace today for what it is. But I learned in that moment I wasn't going to fix any of that. That if I didn't take that moment to pause and spend some time with Jesus and enter into his presence, I wasn't going to find the peace and rest that I was looking for. And some of you are the exact same way. You know exactly what I'm talking about when I say things like that. You feel the weight, you feel the anxiety, you feel the stress, you feel the frustration, you feel the list building all around you and the walls closing in. And maybe more than getting more things done and working harder, what you need to do is pause and enter into some time with Jesus. And you'll find that even though nothing changed, everything's changed, because I found peace and rest that I couldn't find anywhere else. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, maybe that's you here today, man. You don't know Jesus. You don't know what it's like in this life to find peace and rest. And you've tried everything else but Jesus. Man, you've tried to work hard. You've tried to make more money. You've tried to buy nicer things. You've tried alcohol. You've tried drugs. You've tried sex. You have tried it all. And yet in the end, you still feel like, I can't find the peace and rest that I'm looking for. It's because peace and rest is found in one place, and his name is Jesus. And if you would surrender your life to him today, I guarantee you that you would find the peace and rest that you're looking for in your life. But until you do, you will not find the peace and rest that you want, because it only exists in Jesus Christ. And so if that's you today and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you want to make that commitment here this morning for the very first time, would you slip your hand up so that we could just put a Bible in your hand and pray with you? Is there anybody here? That's you. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus, and I want to give my life to him for the very first time. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Okay. Let's stand. How many of you would say that God's been speaking to you about some things in your life that you need to work on? And here's what I want to do before you raise your hand. So many times that list feels really long and we don't know what to do, right? Because we're thinking about 5 things I need to stop doing and 5 things I need to start doing, and I don't know how I'm going to make all that happen. Let me simplify it for you. Pick one thing. What's one thing that you could change in your life right now so that you could make more time for Jesus and learn to enter into the rest of his presence with him? One thing. And do that one thing really good, and then figure out what the next thing is after that. But do one thing. Instead of picking 10 things that you know you're not going to do and you're going to get frustrated with, let's pick one thing and see what Jesus does when we pick that one thing. Have you say, man, I can think of one thing in my life that Jesus wants me to work on. Slip your hand up if that's you. Hands all over this place. Mine too. Can we keep those up? And can we just make a commitment to the Lord together as we close out this service in prayer? Jesus, I just pray for everybody here that's raised their hand. I pray for everybody that's online right now, God, that has raised their hand too, Jesus. God, I pray for you to give us the strength we need to find that one thing, God, that we need to let go of, that we need to set aside, whether it's a friendship, a relationship, whether it's something at work or whether it's just something that has taken away time with you, God. I'm going to set it to the side, and I'm going to do this one thing well, to spend time with you and be intentional to make space in my life for you, God. I pray that you would help each one of us here to hear that commitment, to stick to it and live it out. Satan, you have no authority in our life. You have no authority over any of us, God, and I pray that those that have raised their hand and made that commitment will find the power from your Holy Spirit to live it out and do the one thing that you've called them to do, so that we can reflect you to a world that desperately needs you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Listen, our prayer team is up here. If you want somebody to pray with you this morning, please come down. Let one of them pray with you. We love you, and we'll see you again next week.